Psalm 13. For the director of music, a psalm of David. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Pip, very much indeed. Let me extend my welcome to that of Johnny's. I'm Adam, the vicar here. Do keep it open. We're going to look at that short psalm, six verses. But enormous truths, and let's pray as we begin. Now is the time. If your children have completed the word search and colouring, there is a bingo sheet at the back, which means if they hear words that I say during the reading and sermon, it might help them pay attention or help you pay attention whilst they go through. So do, by all means, grab the bingo sheet if that would be helpful. But let me pray as we sit under the Lord's voice. Loving Father, we thank and praise you that you draw near to us and reveal that in your word. We thank and praise you. You are full of promise, both making them and fulfilling them. And so we give you thanks that as we sit here and we lament the terribly sad news for Sheila and Alyssa and Tanya and the families involved, Lord, we just thank you that we can trust you. And so we pray now that you would still our hearts and minds and renew them, fixing our eyes upon you and taking your truth into the wider world, both through our own comfort in our faith, but also to those who don't yet know you, that they would place their trust in you and your unfailing love. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder what it is that you do or to whom you turn when you're in trouble. I guess at the simplest level, children very often turn to mum or dad, whoever their grown-up is, as that one-stop source of help. They've sort of got to be able to do everything and anything to fix any sort of trouble a child may face. And as we get older, of course, our troubles get a little bit more complicated and complex. And so where we turn or whom we turn very much depends upon the trouble we're in. All sorts of people and places and institutions and agencies we'll go to help. And if you're anything like me, you'll know those times where you've been let down by any one of those numbers of places in your troubles. And you can find yourself at moments in life, and if you haven't yet, you surely will, where you feel there is nowhere left to turn. That can be very desperate and very lonely. More specifically, though, than just general trouble and where we turn, what or whom do Christians turn to when God, the maker of heavens and earth, the Lord Almighty, what do we do and where do we turn when even he perhaps feels far away or weak and disinterested and as if he's clearly forgotten us? And is it okay to even think and feel that he's far away and we've been forgotten and he's failing us? What do we do? Where do we go? Well, wonderfully, in this psalm, God in his word doesn't just simply give us a philosophy lesson to simply set our thinking straight, that we just understand more. But far more than just that, he graciously gives us the very words to be able to speak to him straight as those in pain and feeling forgotten and as if he's far away. And so at that very point when we perhaps find ourselves in life feeling we've nothing left to say to God, he says, let me give you the words to say to me. Say this. Let me help you engage your minds and your mouths in light of me. And so this 13th psalm, far from being unlucky for some, is just a true blessing. Because it shows us what it is to genuinely express felt pain and turn that into honest prayer, and even end in heartfelt praise. So firstly, in just two verses, verses 1 and 2, we're shown what it is to express our felt pain. Right at the start, we're told, aren't we, it's for the director of music. It's a psalm of David, the king of Israel. And he's someone we're going to learn much more about as of September when we look at 2 Samuel together in the course of 22 and 2023. But as we turn here, we can't quite be certain of the facts that David is facing. But we can be quite certain of how he feels about whatever he's facing, can't we? He is a bag of unanswered questions. 4 times in 2 verses, he asks, how long? How long? And we can imagine, remember, this is a psalm, it's a song. We can imagine that he gets louder and louder. The director of music is told crescendo as he gets more and more anxious. How long? How long? How long? How long? For David's whole world, it seems, is collapsing around him. Spiritually, emotionally, circumstantially. Verse 1, David is clearly all imploding. He feels so forgotten by the Lord, it's as though he's hiding from him. The most cruel game of divine hide and seek. I cannot find you. And verse 2, emotionally speaking, David is just simply exhausted by his thoughts. He's broken in the wrestle. Day after day, he only knows sadness of heart, this sorrow. And circumstantially, verse 2, he feels the pain of his situation where an enemy is looking on at him losing and them winning, and they love it. They love it. And so here is a Christian man, but God's chosen king, no less, who looks at his life holistically and has just one question for God. How long? He pours out his very perceived felt pain. And he turns those questions, secondly, into honest prayer in verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, look down and see what he says. Verse 3, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. It's astonishing what he says, isn't it? Most of us won't have permission to speak to our parents like that, let alone God. And yet these are the words God gives us to speak to him at our most broken. The Lord's King says to his Lord the God and says, now look here, answer me, God. Give light to my eyes. Show me, or I'll die. You see, he is plain as day in his pain, demanding God reveals the point and purpose of his problems and pain. And all the while, as I say, his enemy is watching and waiting to party every time he fails and falls. Verse 4, I've overcome him and will rejoice when I fall. That's the sentiment of what they're saying. See, David is utterly desperate. And in this simple poem, this song, he demands of the Lord, now look, you answer and explain. See, friends, here is a real bona fide Christian expressing their felt pain in the most honest prayer. I asked myself this week, have I ever prayed like David here? This most honest revealing of pain in prayer. Picture maybe instead a young child happily playing in the park, going about their business over the summer holidays, having a whale of a time, glad to not be at school, toddling around the sandpit of Priory Park, and then a bigger child, who's a little bit more bored than they are, decides it's time to pick on them, trips them over and takes their toys and calls them a baby and blah, 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 blah. Leaves them bleeding knee and bruised ego. In that child's pain, what do they do and where do they go? You see, they don't run out the park to Hornsey newly refurbished library to look up the reference section for a philosophy of life to make sense of all this. And they don't go to the other side of the library to pull down sort of the Oxford Children's Dictionary to try and establish the language to really articulate this. No, they run, don't they, to their loving grown-up. And they pour out their pain in words and phrases that if you've been there in that situation as parent or auntie or godparent or uncle, whoever you might be, just sibling, they don't often make sense as they do that. Because what's happened to them, they can't make sense of. And so they pour out their pain, don't they, through snotty noses, honestly, angrily, disappointedly, unreservedly, unashamedly, in one-sided confusion and bluster. But they'll pour out their heart to the person they know will listen and love and comfort and maybe, maybe be able to explain. So friends, as we look around at each other, a smaller group, lovely to welcome one or two faces not seen before. You're very welcome here. But with lots of others on holiday or away and on summer camps, we know amongst ourselves, don't we, even before we heard the terribly sad news for Sheila, Alyssa and Tanya, we know that Christians are not let off life's troubles. We know in our own lives and amongst our church life of one another that like David, we will know days, or weeks, or months, or years, or lifetimes, feeling as though God's back is turned. Where spiritually and emotionally and circumstantially, we feel like the only question we have for God is how long? Where are you? I'm done. And if we know that feeling, we'll know the double whammy of that added tension where we're longing to live in a way that promotes the gospel to an onlooking world, our friends and family. And we know that our circumstances, if we're struggling in them, that even the best of friends and family, there is a sense of them quietly, if not rejoicing, at least asking as they look on, where's your God now? What good will he do me? And so where do we go? Well, like David, we are to go to the Lord, our God. Psalm 13 assures us, invites us, and then gives us a divine script to take our very felt pain in very honest prayer to the Lord. Because his unfailing love is worthy of heartfelt praise. And that's the final two verses. You see how the psalm just neatly falls into 2, 1-2, 3-4, 5-6. Pain to prayer to praise. So verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. See, those four little words change everything. Don't they? I guess if it were, we've lost the tune now, we only have the words. This is the point that the minor chord changes to the major key. Four little words, but I trust in. You see, how we answer that statement, how we finish the sentence, the what or whom we trust in, will reveal where our security is found. And we've heard that David only has questions for God. He has no answers. But when he remembers who he's talking to, thinks about what he's like and has historically shown to have done, there is one question he can answer in his pain. The question, can I trust the Lord? And his answer is a resounding, life-changing yes. So verse 5, he remembers that he has once trusted and so will continue to trust in the Lord's unfailing love. It means regardless of his circumstances, spiritually, emotionally, or circumstantially, his heart genuinely rejoices in the Lord's salvation, his deliverance, his rescue. And so knowing that to be true, verse 6, I will sing the Lord's praise. For he remembers, as he closes, the Lord has been good to me. As the Reformation theologian Calvin puts it, of this verse, for David at this time, God's deliverance feels distant, but he places it right before his eyes and sings. You see, all of life's troubles thrown at him, genuine and real as they are, we don't know what they are here, which is the wonderful gift, because we then don't over-apply it to this and that. It becomes true for whatever our felt pain is. And as that blocks and obscures the view of the majesty and glory of God, he drags it forward right before his eyes and says, I will sing. The pop star Harry Styles is the one who's more on vogue than the one I think of most, which is Robbie Williams. Some of you all know him. 90s sort of, is it X Take That? Pretending I don't know. He was X Take That boy band and the most sort of successful, I guess. And he had a famous album when he went solo that was called Sing While You're Winning. Sing While You're Winning. This psalm says, what do you do when you're not? It teaches us Christians can and will sing, perhaps especially when we're not winning, because we know God in the Lord Jesus has won. As the New York pastor, now retired pastor, Tim Keller puts it, we believers in life still ask, where is the Lord in our pain? And as we look at the cross of Jesus, we still do not know what the answer is, but we know what the answer isn't. It can't be that the Lord doesn't love us. It can't be that he's indifferent or detached from our condition. For the Lord takes our misery and suffering so seriously that he was willing to take it upon himself. That's the power and purpose of Christ's cross. That's his salvation. And so we will sing. Friends, in our very felt pain, let's be those who pray very honest prayers. And as we remember the Lord's unfailing love, let's help one another genuinely rejoice with heartfelt praise. And so as we draw these threads together, just a question or two perhaps to take us into the week and to our life situations. If you are someone this morning, and I know there are some, if you are struggling, why not make these words of God your words to God this week? That's why he gave them to you. Turning pain to prayer to praise. They're given that we might still sing and pray and praise, words that are ultimately fulfilled by his final King, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're struggling, make these words from God your words to God. If you're not struggling, who might you encourage with these words this week? Sheila and her family. Sheila and her family spring to mind. If you're not yet struggling, is this a psalm to highlight in your Bibles as a bookmark for when you know where to turn when you do struggle? And finally, just a word, if you're perhaps not yet a Christian this morning, just wondering about all these things, it's lovely to have you if that's you. But in your struggles, how do you finish David's sentence? But I trust in. For if it's not the Lord, it won't ultimately satisfy or secure, because it won't and can't save. Might save in the short term, get you out of a fix one day, but it won't save with a capital S from sin. It won't reveal its unfailing love to you. But the unfailing love of the Lord does, and assures you and invites that you can trust him too.